to church. We are so glad to have you here tonight. Who is ready for church tonight? Amen. It's going to be good. I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, though. I'm going to ask you to go around and shake somebody's hand. I know it's wild. Crazy church people, go shake someone's hand. Welcome them to church. Let's praise the Lord tonight with our very best praise. Hallelujah.
We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. For the Lord is beside us. With him we cannot.
Bye.
Holy Spirit. tonight.
Lord, we worship you. You're a good God. Pour your spirit out.
Heartbeat Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Man, I said Wednesday night, the children of Israel, when Ezra and Nehemiah was in the place, that they read the word, the law, for 6 hours. And then for another 6 hours, they worshiped, they praised, they repented. Hallelujah. Just think, if 5 more hours we did that tonight, we wouldn't need Dr. Sam to do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have prepared. We have prepared like they did in the upper room. And his presence is here. And that's what we want, is his presence. Right? All right? And because we prepared, because his presence is here, we are now empowered. We are empowered. Remember, without the preparation, there is no empowerment. This place has been seated. And Dr. Sam is here. And hallelujah, what he throws out at us is going to be enriched and is going to go deep in our soil of our hearts tonight. You agree with that? How many believe that this morning was a fantastic start to Pentecost? Woo! Hallelujah. What God had done, I believe again, just something has happened this past month in this house. And I believe it's going to continue to happen. People are going to continue to be set free. I've seen people move who haven't moved from those back rows for years. God is doing something, not just in the front row, but in the back row as well. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you will, we want to quickly give Brother Sam time, all the time he needs in the world. Stand up with me and let's just give him a great round of applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Doc, for coming up tonight. We love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want you to make sure that you give the devil what he deserves tonight.
Amen.
Okay? Can you do that?
Smack in the head.
First John Wick tonight.
TKO. Right? Let's go.
All right. God bless you, man.
Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our God is good. Our God is good in the hard times. Our God is good in the good times. Our God is good eternity past. Our God is good eternity future. Our God is good. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God, you may be seated, loved ones. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. He will not let your foot slip. We're going to talk about feet today. We're going to talk about your ways today. My way, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you does not slumber. You don't have to have insomnia, baby. You can go to sleep because he's awake and he's watching over you. He who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord watches over you. He's your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. You ain't got to be scared. He will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you. He will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's our God. He is a good, good God. We bless his name. Amen. Oh, who else are we going to praise? We ain't going to praise our own selves. We're going to lift him up, and he's going to draw all men to him. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel today. 2 Samuel, and we're going to go to a story which you might not have heard of in a long time. 2 Samuel chapter 15, loved ones. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, we got to, like, what do you mean after this? And who's Absalom? Absalom is the crown prince at this time. He is David's son. David is the second king of Israel, right? First Saul, then David. And boy, you know, it's a couple of chapters in 1 Samuel where David is on a run. And people are like, okay, that's a 3 or 4 chapter kind of deal. So he's on a run, cave to cave. His life is on a line. Did you know he ran for 15 years? Did y'all know that? From cave to cave. 15 years, Saul, the demonic forces in Saul were chasing David. And it was for a reason, for David to humble himself, for David to say, you know, I've give up. My life is not mine. God is my life. And so David became, finally he becomes king in Hebron for 7.5 years. And then he becomes king of all Israel for 33 years. What happens to David? He's got his throne. He's got his entourage. He's got everything. Unfortunately, David falls. We see that he falls into sin with Bathsheba. And then he kills Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And then we see this, Nathan the prophet talking to him in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. Did you get that? You have despised me. The verse before, loved ones, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you despise God's commandment. Because if you despise his commandment, you despise Jesus Christ. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, that Word was with God. And that Word became flesh. And that Word is Jesus Christ. You and I despise his Word. We despise Jesus. That's how serious it is. And he's told, you despised the Word and the law of the Lord. You despised me. That's God talking through Nathan. And he says the sword will never leave the house. Now, the sword doesn't leave the house. David's life becomes upside down. And you're like, wasn't he forgiven? Yes. But loved ones, sin has consequences. When my patients are on heroin, let's say, and they're injecting, well, you know, something happens with sharing needles, and they get hepatitis C. Hepatitis leads to cirrhosis of the liver. And my patients, some of them are like, does God hate me? No. He loves you. He died for you. He forgives you. Come underneath the blood of the Lamb. But we have cirrhosis. It's a consequence. Now, we can pray for the cirrhosis, for God to reverse that. And can he? Yes. And I do that anyway. But we are not living in condemnation. But what I want to share with you is God does not have a bat to beat you and me up when we go astray. I truly believe, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, that we give way to Satan. We give him the stronghold. And he's the one that beats us up. He's the one that gets the legal rights to come into the door and say, you left it open. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to harm you. I'm going to tackle you. I'm going to make you sick. I believe our God wants us to be healed. And our God said, by his stripes we are healed. I believe our God has called us to goodness and mercy and favor. But are there sins and consequences? Yes, loved ones. And Satan capitalizes on it. Don't be talking about the Holy Spirit beat me up. The Holy Spirit's called the comforter. He don't beat you up. The Holy Spirit comforts you. The Holy Spirit convicts you and me. It is Satan, the accuser of the brothers in Revelation 12:11, that accuses you, me, day and night, and he won't stop. Amen. But he don't belong in your brain. He belongs under your feet. And so now we understand that what David did gave Satan a doorway. Now, if we sin, are we going to be in fear all the rest of our life? No. We live under forgiveness. We live under God's grace. We live and are able to come to his throne and ask for mercy, Hebrews 4:16, and that's what we're doing. And so now, what happens right after this? You see in chapter 13 that David has many children. He's got many wives, by the way, at least 7. And the brother got 10 concubines. They're mistresses, and they're legal mistresses. It's okay for them to have it. You ever wonder why Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines? He looked at his daddy. He like, he can have it. I got much more. And so that's the parents, what they do is whatever they do, the children follow. And this is what happened to David and his life. So the children will ultimately follow. But David had many wives. Amnon was the crown prince. He was number one. He was going to be the next king. But Amnon did something stupid. So Amnon is one of David's kids. David has another kid named Absalom and Tamar. And these two are real brothers and sisters, meaning they're not half. They've got the same mom and the same daddy, Tamar and Absalom. And Amnon falls in love with Tamar, and he wants Tamar. And he makes himself sick and ill, and he goes to his daddy, I'm so sick, I need help. And daddy's like, what you want? I want Tamar to come and make me some biscuits and feed me. It's so stupid. Daddy says, okay, I love it. And then so he got to go make biscuits. And so as she's making them, he rapes her. He sends everybody out, rapes her, and he's in love with her. But when he rapes her, after that incident, it says the Bible that he hated her more than he loved her or lusted her. She's in shambles. And this is not today. This is back then. If that happened to a woman, her life was over, basically. She puts ashes on her head. She tears her beautiful clothing. She goes, y'all don't need to watch no movies. The Bible's X-rated. It's crazy. It's insanity. It's got all story. It's amazing. So she puts ashes and she's like, my life is over. Absalom, her real brother, full brother, hears it and he is so angry. What is David doing? He's angry. Okay, what are we going to do about that, David? Great king, bad daddy. All right, bad father. And he doesn't do anything. He lets Amnon get away with it. Well, years pass by, a couple of years. Absalom's like, I'm going to get you, boy. I'm going to take you out. That's what I'm going to do. He has a party away from David's palace. And he invites Amnon. Daddy, can Amnon come? Why you want Amnon? I just want him. He should be there. We're going to have a good time. So Amnon goes, and Absalom gives word, slay him. Take him out. And so he does. Absalom has to flee. Now he's a fugitive because death is going to come to Absalom because of murder. 3 years he goes to Syria. He's away. And now he finally comes back home. Absalom does, because Joab helps him get home. And he falls before the king and he says, my king, I miss you. Kiss, kiss. So that's it. No justice is done nowhere. And now we come to our story. Everything is falling apart for David. His whole life is falling apart. And so it came to pass after this, after what we said, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Why? Well, every time you hear chariots, it has to do with military power. For instance, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 7, Pharaoh, after the 10 plagues, you think you learn a lesson? Nah. Pharaoh gets 600 chariots. And Pharaoh was after the Israelites at the Red Sea. 600. Might. Power. I'm going to get you. God has his own way. You got your chariots? I'm going to drown every single one of you. And so that's what God does. You go to Judges chapter 4. Deborah, y'all remember her. Deborah and Barak, and they are going to fight against Sisera of the Canaanites. Sisera got 900 chariots. You go to 1 Kings, Solomon, when he is like, I mean, the king of kings, if you will, on earth. Solomon has 1,400 chariots. Every time you see the word chariot, that means power. That means military. That means might. That means kingdom. So what is this man doing? He's got his chariots with him and 50 men to run before him. What does that mean? That's his entourage. That's like, I'm important. It's like roll the red carpet before I get there and let the people see that, oh, people are with Absalom. He is much loved. He is powerful. He's a good man. People are following him. Let's follow him too on Instagram. Let's go, let's go. So that's what they're all doing. They're all coming. And this is like, you know, like a politician saying, I'm here to make things more affordable for you. Yeah, why the gas price? $6, bro. Why? You didn't do nothing. And you was on your seat for over 10 years. I ain't mentioning no names. I will say the gas price is $6.50 in California. I had a friend call me from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and said, our gas price is $3. I said, good. That's a good thing. Mine's $6.50. Shut your mouth. So all these politicians, they have an entourage. They come and like, I'm all that. And people are like, oh, he's gonna do what he said. No, they're not. Only Jesus. You wonder why he rules in righteousness in the millennium. Only Jesus. You can't buy him. You can buy politicians, but you can't buy Jesus. He bought you and me out of slavery. That's what Jesus does. Here's his entourage. Here's his people going before him. Military power and might. And then Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. Now the gate's very important. You see the gate in Ruth where Boaz and all his people were at the gate. They made special decisions at the gate. The judges were there. The elders were there. And so the gate is very important to come into Jerusalem. And so he's there early in the morning and he's going to meet and greet the peoples. Watch him. Watch this character go crazy on us. In the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king. See, David is not only king, but he is the Supreme Court in those days. He made decisions when in a certain city, whether it's Jerusalem or Bethlehem or up on Samaria, where and the things didn't go right for him, they would come down and they go to the Supreme Court and saying, this judge said this, but I'm appealing unto you. And so they come and they had a controversy. They came for the king, but Absalom called him and said, of what city are you? He's showing respect. He's showing honor. He's showing, I care for you. That's what he's doing, Absalom, to all the peoples that are coming. Absalom said to him, see, your matters are good and right, but there is no deputed of the king to hear you. There is no representative of the king here to hear you. And by the way, the Department of Justice and City Hall is closed right now. I'm here early in the morning, you see. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. And your matter, oh, you sound so righteous, man. If I was there, I'd say, yes, yes, I give you, yes, the verdict is you're not guilty, go. But then the other side would come and he'd say the same thing. So which one is it, Absalom? Oh, you're right. Yes, yes, you're right. You're not guilty. So he's playing with people all day long. He's not fixing any problems. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. You don't need a cardiologist to help you. You need a savior. Jesus fixed it. He fixed it for you and me. These people, they are not fixing anything. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge of the land, that every man which had suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice. I you know, he's seen justice or injustice. He saw his sister Tamar be raped, and there was no justice. He took her into his own house. And by the way, he had a daughter and he named the little daughter Tamar so that her name would live on forever. He saw the justice of David. He was exiled and he ultimately was let back. And when, by the way, when he came back, it took two more years before David even saw him. And he thought, no, that's not justice. I don't see no justice in my daddy. I'm going to give you justice. And it was so that when a man came near to him, he'd do obedience. I mean, he would just bow before him. He would say, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm here to help you. That's what he would do all day long. He took their hand. He kissed them. He honored them. And in the matter did Absalom in verse 6 to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of men of Israel. Ain't that a trip? Every single year, this man was on the front cover of GQ magazine. I'm going to show you why. Because in chapter 14, verse 25, Absalom was known for his beauty, from the sole of the foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. The boy was GQ. And that boy got hair, y'all. And every time he cut his hair, it was 5.5 pounds or 200 kilograms, or 200, that's a lot of hair, 2.5 kilograms in verse 26 of chapter 4. He was not only on GQ magazine, but now as he's turning all hearts to him, he stole the hearts. Now he's on Time magazine, front cover, GQ look. And it was David who was on front of Time magazine all these years. Remember Goliath? Who took Goliath down? He's like, you come against me with your sword, I come against you in the name. That's how you live life. There's swords, there's spears, there's obstacles, there are haters everywhere you go, I guarantee you. And if you don't see them, you must be blind. But they're there, and they come against you, you stand your ground and say, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. He leads me, he's in me, he's for me, and I'm not bowing down to nobody else. Nobody. David was on the front cover every single year of Time magazine, Jerusalem Time magazine. I mean, everybody loved him. Saul has killed his 1,000. David killed his 10,000. So he was all known. Now it's being usurped by his son intentionally, intentionally. And it came to pass after 40 years, and a lot of people think that's 4 years. I'm not sure. I think perhaps Absalom at this time was 40 years old. We don't know. And Absalom said to the king, I pray you, let me go pay my vow. Because he's made a vow. He's like, yeah, when I was in Syria and I was exiled and I was scared, I vowed to God and I said, oh God, if you bring me back to Israel, if you bring me back to Jerusalem, I will serve you. Lie. 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 He's not here to serve people. He's here to serve himself. So he's lying. And he says, I made the vow. And his daddy says, go in peace. In verse 9, those are the last words David spoke to his son. He had no idea what was going to happen. So Absalom sends spies everywhere in chapter 10. And he goes to a city called Hebron. And he says, tell everybody that I'm king there. He brings 200 people to his entourage with him. And Absalom sent to Ahithophel in verse 12, David's counselor. You know who Ahithophel is? He is Bathsheba's granddaddy. And Ahithophel cannot stand David. He stole his granddaughter. He killed Uriah. And Ahithophel is going to pay him back. You'll see. And so Ahithophel goes with Absalom. He was the greatest counselor with David. But he's like, David, you've done wrong. I'm gone. I'm out of here. And this is what David does. Shocks the living daylights out of me. I don't believe it until this day, but it's in the Bible, so I got to believe it. In verse 14, and David said to all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed, hurry up to depart. And so David says, let us flee. That was the picture of all of Israel when they faced Saul. I mean, when Saul and his kingdom and his army faced Goliath. They were shivering. They were scared. Goliath would come out and go, who will fight against me? And everybody shivering and not I, not I. What did David do? Not I, not I. No, he's like, who? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about my God? We're not going to have this. They put all his armor on, Saul does. He's like, I can't do this. Don't be nobody's copy. Be who God sent you to be. If you got stones, use the stones. Who needs an armor when the stone is from God? You don't need anybody's armor. You need the anointing of the Lord. Don't follow nobody. Because they have a certain anointing. You can't get that anointing. You get your own anointing from the living God. And so David comes up to him and runs to him. You read it.
1 Samuel chapter 17. He runs towards Goliath with his sling. And he's like, you coming against me with your sword, with your spear. I'm coming against you in the name of my God. And now we don't have a Goliath. We have his son. David, you're king. You got the army. You got Jerusalem. You got Israel. But David turns around and flee. I believe sin cuts to the heart. Oh, it looks pretty. It looks inviting. It looks so good at that time. Vegas lights, Nashville lights, so beautiful. Go in, creep a little more, a little more, a little more. It looks so inviting, but sin can cut your heart. And I think David has been torn. He's not the same David. Just not the same David as we knew him when he was 16, 17, going after Goliath. And the king's servant said, we're ready to go, and they go with him. And the king went forth, and he left his 10 concubines there. Now, this is kind of important because ultimately, we won't study it today, but Ahithophel, you remember him, Bathsheba's granddad, David's counselor, when all is done, when David escapes and Absalom comes into Jerusalem, Ahithophel tells Absalom, go to your dad's 10 concubines on the roof and have relationship with them and let all Israel see it. Ahithophel is paying David back. He's paying him back big time. And he's saying, I control your women. I control your marriages. I control your city. I control what you got. I'm king. That's what Ahithophel told him to do. We won't study it, but I wanted you to know what's in the mind of Ahithophel. So they escape. We're not going to go through every single verse, but then there's this man called Ittai in 19 that comes to him and he says, I want to go with you. And David's like, you just came. You came to the city. You haven't been here forever. You go back home. Don't do this to yourself. He goes, no matter where you go, if it's life or death, I'm with you. I ain't going nowhere. And ain't that the truth? Like in Ruth chapter 1:16, y'all remember Ruth? Talking to Naomi. Naomi's like, y'all go back. The other chick's like, okay, bye. Ruth is like, nah. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Where you live, I live. Where you worship, I worship. That is loyalty. How good is your loyalty, loved one, mine, to God? On a scale of 1 to 10, I always ask my patients when they are having heart attacks. And we don't have much time to talk when that's happening. But when they, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like, how bad is your pain? 1, so little. 10, I want to jump off of a bridge. How bad is it? And a lot of them are like, 10, can't you see 10? And so we go, we rush, and we open up heart arteries. But how good is your loyalty to the God who died for you? On a scale of 1 to 10. Don't be raising your hand. Don't be yelling out numbers. I believe a lot of Christians are at a scale of 2 or 3. I ain't judging nobody. I've just gone from place to place, from city to city, from country to country. Don't you think it's time for us to raise the bar a little bit, loved ones? Don't you think saying, I'm done with myself. I'm done with the road I'm talking about or where I'm taking. I'm done with what I want so much in life. I'm seeking everything. I want to seek the kingdom of God first. That's who I want in my life. His word I want in my soul. I can't take it anymore. I'm getting hit from all sides, but I can't. I want him. That's Ittai. I'll go with you. Even if that means death, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. May that be our words to Jesus Christ. I'm going with you. And Ittai ends up going, and then we have in verse 24, Zadok the priest and Abiathar, another priest, they come to him, and they say, we brought the ark. We brought the ark. We got it out. We brought it, David. And you know, at that time, they didn't have the temple, okay, y'all? Solomon built the temple. But they had this little tabernacle. And the Ark of the Covenant was with them. And they we brought it. We brought it for you. And David says something amazing. And the king said to Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. You see, the ark of the covenant in Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, was the presence of the living God. And why does David not want the presence of the living God? Why wouldn't he want that with him? Because God was with him wherever he went. Matthew 28 tells us in verse 20, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. God is with you. I get tickled when people say, oh, God be with me. Baby, he's already with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you, never fail you, never sabotage you, never trip you, never hate you. He loves you. Let's go. Let's go. David's learned, wherever I go, God is with me. I don't need the ark to tell me God is with me. I am with God. He is with me. Take it back. And he tells Zadok and Abiathar, the two priests, go back. Just go back. And I want you to take your sons with you. And if you hear anything, these are spies. If you hear anything from Absalom, you tell your sons to run and across the Jordan River and tell me what's happening. I got to know. He puts a little bug there for himself, so he's got to know. And so he sends those two priests back. And in verse 30, and David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, where I was born, insane. He goes up the Mount of Olives, wept as he went, and his head was covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. This is tragedy. This is tragic moments in his life. He's weeping. He's done with himself. He's got his hoodie on. He's got ashes on his head. He's done with himself. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is amongst the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, Lord, I pray you turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. There's nothing wrong with you praying about your enemies, that God turn their counsel into foolishness. You don't have to hate them, but you can tell God, take care of it for me, Father. Take care of them. Confuse them. Even the politicians who hate life and who are for death, they are not for life. It bothers me so much. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God. You imagine that? I love this. I got to go to Psalm 13. And this, by the way, is where I got the book's title, I Got a Big Butt. The butt is B-U-T and another T to add. But the big butt, you'll see the big butt in a minute. And that's a pivotal point in your life, loved one, that I want you to see. Because if we don't live like this, we'll be basket cases. This is how you go from ashes to a crown of beauty. This is how you go from mourning to an oil of joy. And so in Psalm 13, I want you to see what David says. He says, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? This is tragic for David. How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear, O Lord, my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep in death. He said, God, you got to help me. My situation is rotten. My life is hurting. I can't go on like this. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, whether it's Absalom or whoever it may be in your life. Lest your enemy say, I beat him, I took her out, I conquered them. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Here it is. This is the pivot. This is how you live life. But he changed everything. He changed everything. I've got cancer. The doctor says I'm going to die. But my God has already healed me. I'm facing a situation that's rotten. I've been sabotaged. The person I thought that was my friend, the person who I thought would pick me up, betrayed me, denied me, hurt me, stole from me, and desecrated me. but my God will never fail me. I can't live my life anymore. I'm addicted and I can't stop it. And I've gone to counseling and nobody has helped me. But my God has forgiven me and he has broken all the chains that surround me. This is how you live your life. But God. And he turns it around. This is an awful situation. This is a hurtful situation. He's losing his throne. He worked so hard at it. For he never actually wanted it. He didn't seek the kingdom. It was given to him by God. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Look, I mean, he's on the Mount of Olives. He got the hoodie on. He got the ashes on. He is torn. But we read he's worshiping. Oh, the situation does not dictate whether you and I can worship him or not. The troubles don't dictate, I'm mad, I'm angry, I can't believe this is happening, what happened? That don't dictate whether you and I worship him and say, I'm hurting, my life is torn, I can't believe this happened to me, I'm in the middle of it, I don't see a way out, but I worship you because you are holy, you are worthy, you're a good God, and no matter what my situation, I love you and I trust you, Lord. It's the way to live life. Otherwise, we're going to be basket cases. And then in 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Before you even see his goodness, you and I thank him for his goodness. Speak it. And I, again, it's not mine over matter. It's the word of God over your situation. It's how important it is to speak his word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? Proverbs 18:21. And those who love it will enjoy of its fruit. Speak death, get death. Speak life, get life. And God's word is life. God's word is life. So he's worshiping God. And then you got Hushaiah that comes. He's the Archite. He's another counselor. And he says, I'm with you, David, in verse 32, as David is running away. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, David tells Hushaiah to go back. He's got bugs all over. Now he's got spies all over. He goes, go back. Go back and whatever Ahithophel says, say the opposite. Trip up Absalom. Let him go down that way. I'm not going to kill him. But I sure am going to send my spies. And then you tell Zadok, Hushaiah, my counselor, you tell the priest Zadok, and Zadok will tell his son, and his sons will come run to me and tell me what's going on in the palace. And we come to the last verse here in 37. So Hushaiah, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. And I want to pause there. And I know this sounds silly, but God hit me so hard with the words, Absalom came into Jerusalem. How? He came with chariots. He came with horses. He came with the entourage. He came with revenge. He came with hatred. He came to conquer. He came to steal. He came to usurp. He came to devour. He came for all for himself. Under the guise of service, under the guise of I made a vow, he came to steal. And God directed me to how Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. Do y'all remember? We got Absalom with chariots. We got Absalom with an entourage. We got Zechariah 9:9. Jesus on a donkey. Humble. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 42 and show you how beautiful Jesus is. Isaiah, I don't know if you know, is called the fifth gospel. Yeah, we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. Why is he the fifth gospel? Because he talks about Jesus all day long. And so in chapter 42 of Isaiah, God is talking and he says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, and my spirit is upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Watch this. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard." Here it is in chapter 42, verse 3. "A bruised reed shall he not break." Do you know what that means? He will not crush the weak. When you feel crushed in life, he will never crush you. Satan, enemies, people can crush, but he will never crush you. "And the smoking flax shall he not quench." You know what that means? He will not extinguish the hope of the hopeless. That's the servant. He did not come as a king. In Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself not only to a point of a servant, but he humbled himself to a point of a slave. And not only a slave, but he humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. That's Jesus. That's how he comes into Jerusalem, where people are singing, "Yes, Hosanna, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord," in Psalm 118. It was already prophesied in 118:26 of Psalm. That's how Jesus comes in. And my question is, we got Absalom coming in. We got Jesus coming in. Here's the question for you today. How are you coming in? How are you walking? I'm talking not only to teenagers, where you guys got to make a decision in colleges, in everything in life, whether I click on this or whether I don't click on this. I was shocked to find out that at least 70% of the peoples that come to church watch pornography. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But that's the truth. It's a survey. And the people that do what they do, they know what they're doing. How are you walking in? "Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death," how do you walk into Jerusalem? How are you walking into your life, loved ones? We're told in Micah 6:8, this is how we have to walk. Love mercy, act justly, and walk humbly. How is your humility, may I ask, mine, on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you seeking your own? Is this world about you? Is it about your goals, your dreams, what you can grab, what you can grasp? Or is it about God and his kingdom? That's an important question you and I have to answer today. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death, according to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Which road have you decided to walk in? In 1 Peter 5:5, we see that we are to clothe ourselves not with arrogance, not with the worldly stuff, not with gold. We are to clothe ourselves with humility. In James chapter 4, verse 10, we're told that God loves the humble. He will lift up the humble, and he will oppose the proud. Today, I want us to die to ourselves. I don't mean a physical death. I mean a spiritual death. I mean dying to addiction. I mean dying to, I'm going to spend this much time for myself for my whole life. I want for us to be known as servants. People who love people, who give to people, who honor people, who pave the way for others, and yeah, ride on the donkey at times. It's all right. It's all right. It's going to be okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, loved ones, how would you rate and how would I rate our humility before God and before mankind and in the living room of your soul. How would you rate it? And what road have you decided to take? Absalom's road, the road of Jesus, or the road of yourself and myself? Today I'm going to call on teenagers to come up first, because you have many years to go, but you really don't know. Again, I see the one-day-old, two-day-old die. I see the 105, one of my oldest patients was 105 years old. Amazing that she did not know Christ. And every time I tried to tell her about Jesus, her daughter was there, and she refused for me to talk to her about Jesus Christ. So I have to be very cautious, very careful. I'm bold as can be. I'm crazy as can be. But I have to respect and honor what people want and don't want. You can't just slap somebody with Jesus. And so one day, she decided to stay in the waiting room. The daughter did. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And my 105-year-old comes in, and we're doing an ultrasound on her. And I put the probe on her chest, and I'm looking at her heart. I mean, strong heart. But her thyroid is failing, everything is failing, and I hold her hand and I say, your heart looks beautiful. How is your soul? She's like, what are you talking about, Dr. Sam? I said, well, you know, I hope you live to be 110 years old, but I don't know. But when you do pass away, do you know where you're going to? And she said, well, I hope it's heaven. I said, you want to make sure? 100? She goes, yes, I want to make sure. I said, well, there's a man called Jesus. He came and he died for you and me 2,000 years ago. He is not only a son of God, but he's God. And he loves you so, so, so much. And he's walked with you whether you know it or not for 105 years, because not many people get to live like you. And every time she came in, she like had lipstick on. And she had a pretty purse. Louis Vuitton or whatever it was. And the daughter would always say, she dressing up just for you, Dr. Sam. That's awesome. And so I said, God has been with you all these years. He died for you. His blood will cleanse you of all your sins. Do you want to accept him in your life? And so that you will for sure go to heaven. She goes, yes, I do. But I'm not worthy. I said, neither am I, but he's good. And so we held hands, and she is bawling, 105 years old. People might think, well, what's the doctor doing beating up the patient? What's going on in that room? She's just bawling and crying. And I tell the people to bump up the music in the room over there. So, no, I didn't. I'm just kidding. And so we pray together. A week later, I get a phone call from the daughter. And I thought, okay, maybe they want some medicine. She's run out, whatever. And Dr. Sam, yes, I just want to let you know my mom passed away today. Wow. 7 days. Wow. 105 years old. God is with you, loved ones. You can be a teenager, a youngin', like 9, 8, 10, whatever. Or you could be a teenager, or you could be like my patient, 105. It doesn't matter. God is in love with you, and he does not want you or I to walk like Absalom. He wants us to be servants, men and women of honor. He wants us to be in his word, and he does not want us to despise his word or him. Aren't you tired a bit of the life that you live? And don't you want a sweeter life, a more joyful life, a more honorable life, a life of service? I invite, number one, those who are kids and teenagers to come up so God will change the road and the path that you're on. And if we could have some musicians to play for us, please, in the background, or I don't know if they all left. But I'm inviting you first. I want you to be as bold as can be, and I want you to come. Either that or you're on the right path and you ain't no Absalom and you're like Jesus. Come on up. There is a way that seems right to a man. But at the end, it leads to death. And if you are going to college, there's going to be a lot of alcohol. There's going to be a lot of sex. There's going to be a lot of drugs. There's going to be pills that are laced with fentanyl. These are the warriors here. Here comes my Marines. Come on up. Come on up. You're just plainly saying today that you want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You are not Absaloms. You are children of the living God. Yeah, come on up. Anybody else? Any other kids? Teenagers? Come on up. This is your life. You have your whole life ahead of you. And I want to pray over you that your life is going to be worth it. That God is going to do wonderful and great things in your life. That your friends who did not come up and who weren't here tonight are going to look at your life from now on and say, what has happened to her? And what has happened to him? What has happened to these people? Why are they so different? Why do they shine? Why are they so successful? That's what's going to happen in your lives, because this is what Jesus is going to do. He is going to overwhelm you today. Anybody else? This is the last call for the teenagers. Last call. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these beautiful teenagers. I pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall all over them. I pray that you would change their hearts today. And as you change their hearts, I pray that you would change their ways. I pray that you would change their minds. I pray that you would change their attitudes. I pray that the living God would come upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. And they forevermore will say, I have met the Lord. I have seen him face to face. I have accepted his blood. It's all over me. I have accepted his Spirit. He is within me. I understand now that the fire of the Lord God, Holy Spirit, surrounds me. I will not fear anybody or anything or any situation in my life. Yes, there's going to be obstacles, but I am an overcomer because I have believed in God in 1 John 5:4. Do you know who is the overcomer? The overcomer is the one who believes in God. Loved ones, you young people are overcomers. You are like David when he was 16, 17. You are being given right now an anointing of a sling in your hand. You are going to conquer the enemy. You are going to be the prophets of the living God. You are going to shine his light wherever you go. You thought you were nothing, but I'm speaking in your life today that you are winners, you are conquerors, you are leaders, you are prophets, you are prophetess. You will make a difference, not only in this church, but in Ohio and the United States and in the world, and people will remember you because they will see God and Jesus Christ in you. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord God. Amen and amen. You Marines, stay here. These are my Marines. They were bold. Now for the adults. I'm asking you. You're like, oh, you don't understand. You don't understand, Dr. Sam. My road is already messed up. My road is already shattered. My life is gone to zero. Oh, I put on my clothing. I smile. I come to church. I go to work. I greet people. But you don't understand. Inside my soul, I hurt. I'm dying. And I don't like where I'm going. Today is your day. Today is your day to go in a better way, in the ways of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come up and let me pray for you? We either go to the road of Absalom or we go the ways of Jesus Christ. And Absalom came into Jerusalem. How are you riding? Come on up. Come on up. Let's go. Let's go. Anybody else? Come on up. These are for people who want to change their lives. These are for those who want to shine the light of Jesus. These are for people who say, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. I'm going to shine His light wherever I go. Here are all your young ones. All the adults are good? I don't believe it. I don't believe it one bit. Y'all ain't going to trick this cardiologist. Adults, let's go. A prayer going to hurt you? Let's go. It's time to change your ways. It's kind of hard to get up. It really is. Because if you get up, everybody's going like, oh, wow, he on the wrong road. And I thought he was all good. It don't matter what people say. It just matters if you want to shine the light of Jesus. So, my call's for you. The Marines came up. These are the young ones. Come on up. Come on up. It don't matter what they say. God bless you guys. Anybody else? Want to change your ways? Want to change the road? You see, there's a road like Saul, and it's the wrong way. I beg you not to be hit by the light of Jesus Christ like Saul was, although for him it ended up really, really good. But I beg for you to come to the light now before you face him on the road to correct your ways and my ways. Anybody else? This is the last call. I'm not going to beg. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for all these warriors. I pray a special blessing over them, Papa. I pray that the road that they're on, for one second, one split second, they would just stop and look up and say, okay, from now on, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And I'm going to depend on the Lord from now on. I'm not going to depend on my beauty. I'm not going to depend on my grades. I'm not going to depend on my accolades. I'm not going to depend on my parents. All that is good. There is nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to depend first and foremost on the Lord, that He would show me a new way, the right way, the holy way, the way of truth, the way of life, the way of service. And I am here to serve my God for the rest of my life. Father, forgive us all. Forgive us for going the wrong path. Forgive us for having an attitude of I don't care. Forgive us for saying I did it my way. Forgive us, Papa. And shine your light on us now, on all these beautiful peoples in the front, your warriors. And Father, I do speak that they are conquerors beyond measure. And this church and this state and this world is going to see that through them. And their lives have changed for the good, to walk in your favor and in your blessings from now on. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. God keep you. And God shine your face upon you. Well, loved ones, it's been so good to be with you. I continue to preach the gospel worldwide. And your number one mission here as churchgoers is to give to this church. And it's to give to this church. And it's to give to the church. Because this is where you're blessed. But if God calls you in any way to bless my ministry, where we're reaching 7 billion people through Daystar and God TV, and you want to be part of that, where thousands of people coming to Christ, I encourage you to help the Beacon of Hearts. Nothing comes to me. It all goes to Jesus Christ. And it goes to His Word, because I'm in love with His Word. And if you could help out the Beacon, I think you'll help out yourself, especially if you get these books today. But God, you remember the word but. It's a great transition from where you are today to where God wants you to be and how great He is. He's a great, great God. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine, 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 shine. And I mean overwhelmingly shine His beautiful face upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you, turn His face towards you, and give you His shalom peace, which not only means peace in your soul, but it means healing in your body. I speak that in your life in the name of Jesus. God bless you, God keep you, and God shine His face upon you. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. Powerful message. Now listen. For those of you that want to give electronically, you can port your phone to the QR code that's behind me on the screen if you choose to give that way. We always love to bless the men of God, the women of God that God has put in this pulpit. I believe He's left a great deposit for our lives today. How many of you are here this morning got a chance to hear Dr. Sam this morning? Powerful message, amen. Well, this is the kind of message he preaches and teaches wherever he goes, all across America, around the world. And he said he really felt the Lord tell him to go on television several years ago because he felt like God had given him a message, had given a word that would transform people's lives. And when we sow into his ministry today, we give an offering to Dr. Sam. That's exactly what you're going to help him do. People in China, people in Indonesia, people in the Middle East are hearing the gospel and they're coming to Christ. So just be mindful of that. When we get to heaven someday, I can't wait till we get there. I know, I'm sure we're going to be patient, but when we get there, think about this. People from all over the world are going to say, thank you. And you might say, my goodness, who are you? They'll say, well, you helped Dr. Sam take the gospel into Asia or into Central and South America or to Africa or wherever it might be, and you just played a part because you sowed a seed. So tonight, don't think your seed is indifference. Don't think it's just a little bit here, a little bit there, you know. The Bible says we're faithful in little, God gives us more. So whatever God puts on your heart, do that, and God's going to bless you back as well. Just a reminder for tomorrow night before we receive our offering right now, before tomorrow night, we have Dr. Bill Winston coming to us from Chicago. I hope you come. I hope you bring some friends for Dr. Bill Winston. And then we have Rick C. Ramatero. He'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday night. VBS, I heard, is off the charts. The kids are being so blessed. Great things are happening back there as well. So again, if you know children that have not attended either this morning or tonight, encourage them to come out as well. We're excited about Pentecost Conference because we're not doing these conferences just to go with another motion. We're not doing it just to kind of check a box. No, we believe your life will never be the same because, you know, the Bible says the word does not return void. It will always accomplish what it's set forth to do. So tonight, I pray your hearts have been encouraged. I believe your faith has been enlarged. And guess what? You're more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray over our offering tonight for Dr. Sam, and we're going to dismiss you. Father, I just thank you, God, for everyone giving tonight into Dr. Sam's ministry, God. God, we just speak blessing upon every dollar that's given to Dr. Sam. God, we thank you, God, and it's going to impact the world. Thank you for the opportunity that you bless us with, God, to be able to sow into this man of God's ministry. And Father, we thank you. Harvest is coming in, and God, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, let's go ahead and bring our offering to Dr. Sam of the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m.